Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you back to our third study in the second letter of the letter G in our ABCs of Christian Growth series. And we're talking about the gospel. And we've been over two different lessons so far, and we've learned quite a bit. I welcome you, brothers and sisters, and I praise you for being steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Boy, don't we have to be reminded of that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. The devil's such a liar. He's always trying to talk us into thinking that God's not listening to us. God doesn't notice anything that we're doing. God is not paying any attention to our devotion to Him, and just all sorts of that business. And he's a liar, and Jesus said he's a liar. He's nothing but a liar. And he not even only said he's a liar, but he said there's no truth in him. No such thing as truth in the devil. You can't trust him to tell you the truth. No time. He'll tell you of truth like he did Eve, and he told her a piece of truth, but it's just like rat poison. 99% of it is poison. 1% of it was good food. You see that? And he just uses God's word to manipulate, just like all the preachers or so-called preachers and the ones that have coming in the last time to corrupt God's word and twist it and just change it all up and everything else and just confuse everything. But God is not the author of confusion. And an author is somebody that puts his words in a book. So God is called an author. And if he is called an author, then he has a book written somewhere. And he has his words, in that book. And we have it, that King James Bible. And that's what we were studying out of. And that's all you're ever going to find having to do with any of these studies on Barnhouse Ministries is King James Bible. Okay? So, talking about the gospel. Now, today, I want to talk to you about something pretty interesting and truth from the Word of God that goes along or takes us farther into our study in depth of this matter of the gospel. We defined, just to recap just a little bit, we went over on our first study, our first class, we went over a lot of definitions having to do with what gospel was, what gospel means, and we defined the word itself, gospel. And we found out that it means good news, a good and joyful message. It means joyful message, good news, good tidings, and a joyful message. And we also seen that it also, I'm trying to find the specific one, but signifies good, merry, glad, and joyful tidings that make a man's heart glad and make him sing and dance and leap for joy. Gospel. We defined that thing, and then we went over and read where some of the men, for instance, William Tyndale and Martin Luther and several other men, and the way that they described gospel, and they actually defined the word as they were describing what they said the gospel to be, and the gospel always rounded off, and we said before, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the gospel message of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished, what God the Father accomplished for mankind through the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. Okay, and then we talked about, since we defined gospel and we found out that it means good news and good tidings and merry and glad and joyful tidings that makes a man's heart glad, we said, well, okay, well, what are we talking about that makes a man's heart glad and signifies good and merry? And what things are the gospel? And then we went over our last class, the second class, and we talked about 10 gospels that are given in the New Testament. And we went completely over them on our second class. And just to briefly recount those, remember the first four were the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then gospel number 5 was the gospel of the kingdom. Remember that? Gospel number 6 was the Apostle Paul. and his preaching about the gospel of the grace of God, actually the dispensation that we're living in right now, and that's how you're saved and the gospel that you are saved by. Gospel number 7 was the entire body of sound doctrine that the Apostle Paul was given by the Lord Jesus Christ for the church, and he preached it to us in all of his books in the New Testament and brought the Old Testament into the New Testament and the Old Covenant into the New Covenant. And teaches us all about that. And that entire body of that doctrine, Paul called my gospel. My gospel. He called that the glorious gospel. Talking about the entire body of sound doctrine, all the doctrine that has to do with the New Testament and the New Covenant and the gospel of the grace of God. Then we went over gospel number 8, and we talked about that being the gospel to the children of Israel, and the promised land that God promised, by military conquest, and they denied, they reneged on it, or they didn't believe God, and God said, well, okay, well, you can just stay right there for 40 years, and this generation will die off, and I'll do it with your kids. And that's what he did. And, that gospel is called the gospel preached. The gospel preached. Okay? And we went over scriptures for that. And then we talked about gospel number 9, which is the gospel. It's called, there's the gospel that Jesus preached to the Old Testament saints that were actually down in paradise that had not ascended to heaven yet because they couldn't. Because their sins were not yet, they were forgiven, but they were not yet taken away because there was no redemption price paid yet. There was nothing for the Lord to be propitious toward man about. There was no propitiation. God had nothing to accept to take man's sins completely out of the way. Not only forgive them, but just to completely annihilate a man's sins, just to take them out of the way, to take them away. But Jesus, the 9th gospel is what Jesus done during his 3 days in the tomb. He descended into the earth, and Jesus preached to the Old Testament saints in paradise, and it was that Christ took away the sins of the Old Testament sacrifices could not. That the Old Testament sacrifices cannot. Peter told us about that, therefore, men and brethren, it is through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified through the law of Moses, or by the law of Moses. So you see, that's what Jesus went down, and that's called gospel number 9, the gospel. All right, and then we went over number 10, and that's at the end of the tribulation that an angel preaches. Remember what it was entitled? The Everlasting Gospel, that God's going to save any Gentile who will worship him as Creator. And that's Revelation chapter 14. We went over that, and we read all the scriptures having to do with that. All right, today we're going to talk about one particular thing. We're going to get into the main gospel of the scriptures, and we know what that is, but let me just go ahead and get in it. We're going to begin with this, and that's the title of our beginning, we begin with this. Okay, we begin our study of the gospel with this after we've been over all the preliminary stuff, talking about the definition and talking about how many gospels the Bible talks about and what gospel actually means. Now we're going to get in to the actual good news and the scriptural good news of the Bible. And that is what is involved, God's Word. God's Word. Now, God's Word and the gospel and the Bible, now, God's Word, quote, the gospel, quote, and the Bible, quote, are synonymous. They're synonymous. They're words that are used interchangeably in context, in meaning, and in expression in the Scriptures. Now, this is something that we need to know, that God's Word, the gospel, and the Bible, when they're spoken in the Scriptures, they're used interchangeably in context and in meaning and in expression. They mean the same thing. The gospel, God's word, is called the gospel. The gospel is called God's word. The Bible is called the gospel. The Bible is called God's word. They're synonymous. And these words are used interchangeably in the context that we read and in their meaning and in their expression in the Bible. This is very important. The Lord Jesus Christ is the summation of all of them. Of the Word, God's Word, He is the summation of God's Word. He is the summation of the Gospel, and He is the summation of the Bible. Now you see how we're, all through our introduction in the first couple of classes we've had, it was always mentioned that we're not taken away from the importance and the from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're actually adding to the Lord Jesus Christ and running a prelude to what we're getting to today. So, excuse me, the Lord Jesus Christ is the summation of them all. Of them all what? Of God's Word, of the Gospel, and the Bible. They're synonymous. Now He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the eternal Word. Capital W. Now, I want to teach you something right now in your King James Bibles, not in these other Bibles or so-called books, but in your King James Bible, you need to pay attention to the word Word when it comes up. If that word is capitalized in your King James Bible, it's talking about a person. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the living Word, the eternal Word. It's talking about a person. If it's lowercase w, it's talking about the Word of God, the written Word of God. You see that thing? And that'll help you out as we go through there. Now, that's the majority of the times. In some cases, in the Old Testament, it's different. But the exception proves the rule, because the rule is, if it's a capital W, it's talking about a person. If it's a small W, and when the word is written in the scriptures, it's talking about the word of God or God's word. Okay? So, getting back to what we're talking about, God's word, the gospel, and the Bible are synonymous. They are words that are used interchangeably in context and in meaning and in expression. The Lord Jesus Christ is the summation of all of those. All of them. Okay? He is the eternal word of the Godhead. And you'll notice when you're reading about the Godhead that you'll see that word capitalized talking about a person, the second person of the Godhead, the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see that thing? I mean, it brings out a lot of truth. But He is the eternal Word of the Godhead that incarnated into the living Word as a man, or a human being, who gave the spoken word breathe and inspiration, which became the written word, scripture. You see that thing? Let me say that again. He is the eternal word of the Godhead that incarnated into the living word as a man, a human being, who gave the spoken word breathe inspiration, which became the written word, scripture. He is the good news, good tidings, and joyful message, the gospel. You see that thing? So what we're bringing into our study now is God's word, the gospel, and the Bible as being synonymous when we're talking about the gospel. And we're bringing the Lord Jesus Christ as the summation. We are placing Him, the Scripture places Him actually, as the good news, as the good tidings and joyful message, as the gospel. You see that? That's where before we even started this study, I asked you, what is gospel? And the first thing that we probably thought and what we mentioned that most people would think would be the Lord Jesus Christ, which is absolutely correct. When we went over all them fellas teaching us about what they said the gospel was, every single one of them brought the Lord Jesus Christ up. They were absolutely right. Now, what's been previously said twice so far, in the beginning of the study, we declare a third time, and I'm going to say it to you right now. Without Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the truth around Him and His Word, there would be no gospel. There would be no good news. There would be no joyful message. So you see that? So what have we added? We've brought the Lord Jesus Christ and placed Him in His proper place as the gospel. We have said that synonymous, that the God's Word and the gospel and the Bible are synonymous, spoken of in the Scriptures, and they're used interchangeably in context and meaning and in expression. And when they are used, the end of that, the summation of the context and the meaning and the expression of the Word and the gospel and the Bible end up being the Lord Jesus Christ in all of them. The good news, the joyful message, the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, having said all that, I want to show you what we was talking about a while ago. He is the eternal Word. We're going to talk about eternal Word. Of the Godhead and incarnated into the living Word. We're going to talk about the living Word and see that. And that was as a man, a human being, who gave the spoken Word. When he walked around here for 3.5 years, he spoke the Word of God. He breathed it and he inspired it. And he gave the men the words to say. And God the Holy Ghost inspired also after he was gone, which became the written Word that we have right in front of us, the Scripture. He is the good news, the good tidings, the joyful message, the gospel. So first of all, we want to talk about the eternal Word. The eternal Word. Where do we find that? Well, let's go to the Scriptures. That's where we find it. In John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3, listen to this. And while you're listening to it, if you're looking at it, look at those words I told you about that are capitalized and not capitalized. But in this particular one, we're talking about the eternal Word, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ's existence before He came and took on flesh and was incarnated and took the name as, and was given the name as Jesus. He was the eternal Word. Jesus, before He was incarnated, was the second person of the Godhead and was the Word. In the beginning, the Bible says, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word. Capital W. That's a person. And the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word, capital W, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who are we talking about? Who is Him? The Word. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Him is, the Word is a Him. And without Him who? The Word. Was not anything made that was made. So you see that Trinity coming in? You see the Godhead? You see the Deity? Because the Bible says in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He spoke them into existence. How did He speak them? By His Word. And then we come here and we see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see that thing? Isn't that beautiful? We're talking about the eternal Word. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Word, the Bible, the Gospel. All of them are synonymous. But the summation of all these things is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we're talking about the eternal Word. We've read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Now listen to this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, capitalized, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So we see that the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the eternal Word before He was incarnated to come down here and take and give him the name of Jesus, and Jesus Christ our Lord was born as a human being in a human body. So he, prior to him coming and incarnating, he is the eternal Word. He is the eternal Word. Now, moving along, we get to the living Word. Remember we talked about that he is the eternal Word of the Godhead that incarnated into the living Word as a man, a human being. Okay, well, here's the living Word. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, what which was from the beginning? Well, that verse that we read prior, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, now getting to this verse of the living Word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. This is John saying that he heard the Word talk. That's the living Word, Jesus Christ incarnated. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word, capitalized, of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, we're talking about the Word, we're talking about the Gospel, and we're talking about the Bible, all being synonymous. And you'll see that. Eternal Word was who was with the Father in the beginning and was the Word of God. He was incarnated, came down here, took on flesh, was born of a virgin, and became the living Word. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word, capital W, a person, and the Word was made flesh. So what was made flesh? God's Word, the Word that was with him in the beginning. The second person of the Godhead, God Himself, as His Word, came and took on flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There we have the living Word, the eternal Word, was with the Father in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the eternal Word. What happened? Well, He came down, incarnated into a human body in a virgin, and was born into a human body. The Word, the eternal Word of God, was born into a human body, and He became the living Word, alive, walking around in a body here on earth for 3.5 years. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. He said, I've seen Him, and beheld His glory, and as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so what else? Well, now we have the living Word, Jesus Himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word incarnated into the flesh, and He was walking around for 3.5 years. He lived 33.5 years on this earth, and He started His ministry about the age of 30, and ministered for 3.5 years, and spoke the spoken Word. God speaking out of a human body, the spoken words of God. And here's some scripture for that. Listen to this. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. This is Jesus talking. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words, small w, that I speak, God in the flesh speaking, The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The spoken word, God's words coming out of a human body. God's words. John chapter 15, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word, small w. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus is a spoken word. He was the eternal word with God in the beginning. He incarnated, came into the world, was born of a virgin into a human body, and grew up as a human being, and was the living word in a human body, God in the flesh. And then, as he ministered and began his ministry and started preaching the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, he became a spoken word, speaking God's very words out of a human body. And people recording them. And that's what we're reading right now. John chapter 5, verse 24, listen to this. Verily, verily, this is the Lord Jesus Christ in that body, God speaking. I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, small w, and believeth on him that sent me, that was the incarnate word, the living word, sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Well, how are we going to hear his word if he's already ascended back to the Father? Well, because his spoken word... Well, let me read the rest of these scriptures to you first, talking about the spoken word. John chapter 12, verse 47 through 50. And if any man hear my words, Jesus talking, and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, what words? His spoken words. Hath one that judgeth him, what's going to judge him? The word, small w, that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus was the Word in the beginning, the second person of the Godhead, God himself, incarnated from the internal Word into the living Word, and became flesh and dwelt among us, and then walked around speaking God's words that were given to him, God in the flesh, speaking them out of a human body, and them being recorded. God speaking God's words. Isn't that something? Those people walking around Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God himself speaking to them out of a human body. Isn't that something? John chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus is not of the world. He came from another world. He came from heaven. He said he's not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Jesus didn't come from this world. He came from heaven. All right? So, let's read Colossians chapter 3:16. What are we talking about? We're still talking about the spoken word, why Jesus was walking around and ministering, and why he was here in the body. Okay? Here on earth in the body. All right? Colossians chapter 3:16 says, let the word of Christ, small w, the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, it would be very unfair for the Lord to tell us to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly if we didn't have the Word of God to dwell in us richly. Well, Jesus Christ in the body is not here anymore. So how do we get the Word so we can let it let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly? He must have left His Word here. The spoken Word, as He spoke the Word. All right, Acts chapter 14 and verse 3 says, "Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the Word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." Somebody had God's words when He wasn't here. Somebody had Jesus' words. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 through 5. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words," small w, "even the words," small w, "of our Lord Jesus Christ," all right, this man is teaching us that if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do you consent to wholesome words that belong to Jesus Christ unless Jesus Christ's words have been left here, because He's not here in the body anymore? He left His words. He was the spoken Word, and He spoke the Word while He was here, and people heard Him, and guess what? Words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, and doting about with questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." Anybody that doesn't speak the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and consent to wholesome words, which are the Lord Jesus Christ's words, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, then we're supposed to separate from them. We're supposed to withdraw ourselves from them. Well, wait a minute. If all this is true, and it is, then we have the eternal Word, the Word that was with God from the beginning, that incarnated into the flesh, took on a human body, became the living Word, walked around on this earth for 3.5 years, preaching and teaching and healing and casting out devils and unclean spirits and doing good as the spoken Word. And men recruited from Him, the apostles and the prophets, all walking around listening to Him. And when He ascended back to heaven, they began to write. And guess what you got in front of you? The written Word. The written Word. Jesus Christ, the spoken Word that was the living Word, that was the eternal Word, and became the written Word. He ascended back to the Father. He left His words with those men. They wrote everything down that the Holy Ghost wanted written down and inspired them to write. And they wrote it, and they put it on paper, and we have the written Word. Now, how do we know that? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word," small w, "of truth." Now, how do we rightly divide and how do we study the word of truth if the word of truth is Jesus Christ's words, the spoken word that was the incarnate word, that was the living word, that was the eternal word? Or is, I should say. How do we study that if we do not have that? We do have it, and we're studying it right this very second. The very words of the eternal Word that became the living Word, that became the spoken Word, that turned into the written Word. You see the gospel? You see Jesus Christ? You see the Bible? They're synonymous. They all, just like we said before, they all are interchangeable in context and in meaning and in expression. Eternal Word, Living Word, Spoken Word, and the Written Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17 we read. How about Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 11? Listen to this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Scripture, the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Scripture. It's been scribed. It's Scripture. Okay, what else? Well, how about Acts chapter 15? Or, excuse me, Acts chapter 8 and verse 25 says, and they, when they had testified and preached the word, small w, of the Lord. How'd they get the word of the Lord? And how'd they preach it? And how did they identify it as the word of the Lord? Because the spoken word was recorded when he was here. And it was put down on paper and became the written word. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached, listen to this, and preached the gospel. The gospel. What's the gospel? Well, the gospel is the Bible. The gospel is the Bible. It is the word, and it is the gospel, synonymous, all of them, the summation being the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that thing? You see that? Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. The Bible says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word, small w, of the gospel and believe. You see where the word is the gospel there? The word of the gospel. What's the gospel? Good news, glad tidings. The word of the gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ, the Bible, the word of God, the eternal word, the living word, the spoken word, the written word, the gospel. The gospel. Here's another one. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Watch it. The gospel of your salvation. This verse tells us that the gospel of your salvation was what you heard from the word of truth. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the written word of your salvation. Don't anybody tell you that Bible's not inspired and it's not important. Anybody tells you that, get away from them. They're a fool. They're a fool. Anybody tells you that Bible is not important and not to make no big deal out of it, it's trying to steal your Bible and steal what God gave you. That Bible has come down from the eternal word to the living word, to the spoken word, to the written word. And all of it is from the same identity, God himself. God himself. The Bible is God's very words and has the very sense of what he wanted to say in it. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You see how that Bible, how synonymous that Bible is with the gospel, and how the gospel is synonymous with the scriptures and the Lord Jesus Christ being the summation of them all? You see that thing? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Oh, there's some power behind the written words. That's what he said. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. And in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Hebrews chapter 4, listen to this, and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached. Now, how are you going to preach the gospel if you don't have the gospel? Well, they do have it. They had it in the Word. They got it from the spoken Word, as well as unto them. Listen to this. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, of course, we know he's comparing that, like we said before and studied before in our last class, about the children of Israel that didn't listen to Caleb and Joshua, and they didn't mix it with faith, the word being preached that God said he's going to give them the military victory, and they didn't take his word and believe it and mix it with faith and go on. It didn't profit them. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And listen to this. It don't get any plainer than this, folks. The word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel and the word, the written word, are synonymous. You see that thing? You see that thing? Okay. All right, let's move on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We're talking about the written word now. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word, small w, of God, they call him Jesus God because he was the spoken word, and these are the words we're talking about right now that were turned into the written word. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Talking about the power behind that written word that came from the spoken word, that came from the living word, that came from the eternal word. You see that thing? Isn't that beautiful? All right, what else? Well, we're still talking about the written word and just reading Scripture. Reading Scripture. And it says, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Let me find my place. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now, why would Paul say, I commend you to the word of his grace, if they did not have the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified? Talking about the written word. He's not talking about the person, capital W, that was in the beginning. He's talking about the eternal word that became the living word, that became the spoken word, that spoke the words of God, that was recorded and written as the written word. Acts chapter 13, verse 26 says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of this salvation sent. The written word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ, oh boy, reconciling the world unto himself. God incarnated into a human body and became Jesus Christ, named him Jesus. And he was the living word walking around speaking the spoken word, which became for us the written word. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed, listen to this, unto us, the word, small w, of reconciliation. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke it. It was written down. It was committed to these guys to go out and preach and reconcile people to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Now, how are you going to hear the word of truth if somebody doesn't have the word of truth to speak to you? You can't. We do have it, and that's how you heard it. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. The Bible says, holding forth the word of life, the written word. Jesus ain't here. He's in heaven. He was the spoken word. And he ascended back to the Father and sent God the Holy Ghost. And the men wrote down and scribed his words down and wrote them down, and it became the written word, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And then we have this scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, listen to this, verse 8 through 13. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the living Word, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The eternal Word to the living Word to the spoken Word to the written Word, the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher. Preacher of what? Preacher of the gospel, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. These are the very words we're listening to right now. Paul tells us, hold fast the form of sound words. The words that you hear and you've been taught by, keep them the same and hold on to them, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Just a few more scriptures here. We're talking about the written word. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23, listen to this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, get this, by the word of God, small w, the written word, which liveth, that Bible's alive. It says it is. It liveth and abideth forever. That's what it says of itself. It says it's alive. How can it be alive? Because it came from the spoken word, which came from the living word, which came from the eternal word. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Well, wait a minute. Jesus Christ was already gone when Paul showed up. How'd he get a hold of the gospel of God? Because it was written, and Jesus Christ personally gave it to him on the road to Damascus and taught him the new covenant of what to write down and how the changes have been brought about from the Old Testament and the commandments. and told him all that stuff, and he wrote it down, and he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. And then the last scripture for today, we already know it, we've quoted it many times, and I told you last time on our last recording, or our second class, to memorize this one, because when you hear gospel, and you think gospel, and you are asked of and about the gospel, this is the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Now, how's he going to declare the gospel to us unless he has the gospel? Right? The written word of God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. But I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the what? According to the Scriptures. Not the spoken word. He's not here. Not the living word. He's not here. Not the eternal word. He's talking about what the eternal word and the living word and the spoken word left for us. The Scriptures. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's your gospel. There's the gospel. Amen? We're going to stop right there and just leave this class as it is. But you see why this needed to come about? Why we begin with this? God's Word, the Gospel, and the Bible are synonymous. They are words used interchangeably in context and in meaning and in expression. You've just heard it. We've read it in the Scriptures. They were all called the Gospel. The Bible was called the Gospel. The Word was called the Gospel. The Gospel was called the Bible. The Gospel was called God's Word. These are words used interchangeably. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we have seen, is the summation of them all. The gospel. He is the eternal word of the Godhead that incarnated into the living word as a man, a human being, who gave the spoken word while he was here walking around and breathed it and inspired it right out of his own mouth and his own lungs, which became the written word, the Scripture. He is the good news, good tidings, and joyful message, the gospel. So when we're talking about the Word of God, we are talking about Jesus Christ. And we are talking about the gospel. And we are talking about the Bible. And we are talking about the Word of God that came from the eternal Word to the living Word that was incarnated, who grew up, started a ministry, and walked around preaching, God himself preaching out of a human body, spoken words. And they were recorded and put into a book called Scripture. And that Scripture is alive. It says, it liveth. Now, what else could that mean? It liveth and abideth forever. It liveth and abideth forever. God's words are here, and they are written, and they are in a book. He is called an author. He is not the author of confusion. Who is an author? Somebody that puts their words in a book. So, we began with this, and we've covered this. The Word and the Gospel and the Bible are synonymous. Very important when we're talking about the Gospel. Now we're going to go into, start beginning on our next class, and we're just going to talk about a variety of things having to do with what the Bible says and records about the gospel and different things. Okay, so we have the eternal word, the living word, the spoken word, and the written word. The gospel, the Bible, the word. Amen? Okay, when we come back together on our next one, we're going to begin talking about some Bible descriptions of the gospel. Some Bible descriptions of the gospel. When the Bible talks about the gospel, how does it describe it? How does it describe it? And we'll talk about that. Okay? I'm going to give you these scriptures. Are you ready? Several of them. Got your pencils? All right. If you don't want to write them down, you know that they're on online on Barnhouse Ministries. Just go up there. You can download them, or you can do whatever you want to do. You can download them and print them, or you can copy them, whatever you want to do. Transfer it from that site to your computer, whatever you want to do. It's there, and it's for you, and it's already just exactly the way that we went over them today. They're there exactly like that, and you can get them. They're available. Or you can write them down when I quote them to you. Some people do. All right, here's the first one. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 5, 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 15, verse 3. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 12, verse 47 through 50. John chapter 17, verse 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Acts chapter 14, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 11. Acts chapter 8, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 15, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 13. Just a few more here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. And those are the scriptures for our study, our third study in the second letter of the letter G in the ABCs of Christian growth, the gospel. This has been our third study. And good stuff, huh? Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, you get those scriptures, and if you want to get that material and use it, then fine, but get this study and go over it again. Nail this stuff down. Get it in your mind. This is what the Lord wants for us, and that's why we study. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly, not wrongly. And that's what we've done today. We didn't do anything but quote scripture and talk about it and see what God said. And it came out without confusion, didn't it? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. And it's just laid out there just as plain as day, just as plain as day. This is what we begin with and begin our study after we defined gospel and after we talked about the 10 different gospels. And now we know quite a bit so far. So when we come back together on our next one, we are going to talk about Bible descriptions of the gospel and move on out through our study from there. And you'll love it. You'll love it. It's real good stuff because it's our God's Word. It's truth. And we can trust it and we can live by it. We can shape our lives and our minds and our thinking by it. The gospel. Wonderful, wonderful. God is so smart. No man could do what God does. Man couldn't put salvation and put the gospel together like the Lord did, and then tell us about it in His Word and let us study it and enjoy it. The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? I love you with Christ's love. Bye-bye.